We're holding on Lamentess Umut Bays, six lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Rami Rav Tuvi bar Rav Kisna l'Rava. Rav Tuvi bar Rav Kisna pointed out to Rava a contradiction between our Mishnah and a Braisa. Tnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Kol Oisa Mitzvah Achas, when a person does one mitzvah, Mativin Loi, then Hashem does good for him. And we talked about yesterday exactly what that good is in Elam Hazo and Elam Haba. But still, the point is that he has to be Oisa, he has to actually actively do a mitzvah. Or a mini. So implying osa ein loy osa loy. So if he did a mitzvah, then yes. But if he didn't do a mitzvah, now even though he didn't do an aveira, then it sounds like not just passively sitting and not doing an aveira is not enough. He actually has to do a mitzvah or a mini. But I have a contradiction because the Braisa says yoshev loy over aveira. If a person sits and doesn't do an aveira, noisim loy schar kois a mitzvah, then Hashem gives him a reward as if he did a mitzvah. So that means, in other words, now, granted, fine. I mean, we're not saying obviously a person can't just sit around and do nothing and say I should get reward for that. But in other words, the point is, the point is, Maharsha says, of course, you need not just Tzur Meirah, you need Vaaseh Tov. But the point is, you could have a situation where a person doesn't have any mitzvah to do, doesn't have any mitzvah that he's capable of doing at that time. And the Braisa is implying that that would be enough then, that at least he's not doing Aveiros during that downtime, so therefore he gets a reward for that. But from our Mishnah, the way it makes it sound, like he has to actually do a mitzvah. He has to actually go and then proactively look for a mitzvah to do. So what is it? So the answer is Amalei. So Rava answers him, Hosam kagun shabod varavera liyodei the nitzel haymena. That Braisa is talking about where during that downtime, when instead of in where, during that downtime, we're not just talking about Stam that he could have been sitting around and doing nothing. There was an Aveira that could have come to his that he could have done, in particular Aveira over here means Znus, the Nitzel Hemena, and he was saved from that. So in other words, there was a situation during that time when he was tempted by something of Znus. And he withstood it. That kind of thing is nois and lois schar kois a mitzvah. But if it wasn't for that, then no, he wouldn't get a schar stam for that downtime for not doing anything. And the Gemara gives an example. Ki hod Rav Chanina bar Papi tevait de'ahi matronisa. For example, Rav Chanina bar Papi, a certain goyish lady, propositioned him to be mezana with her. Now, the situation, now further on, the Gemara is going to give a few examples like this of chachamim who were propositioned like that by goyish ladies. Further on, Rashi is going to explain that this goyish lady wielded a lot of power. He couldn't just get away from her easily. She would even have the ability to have him killed if necessary. So here, so therefore, he couldn't just run away or anything. So therefore, so instead, what could he do? So he said something. He said a certain kind of spell, a certain kind of lachash, and he made himself covered with boils and wounds. So that way, he would look very unattractive to her, and that way, she wouldn't want to bother with him. But she was also smart like that. She did something in return, some kind of witchcraft of her own, and he was healed. So now he's back to square one. So he ran away and hid in a certain bathhouse. The problem was this bathhouse was the kind of place that Mazikim tended to frequent. The Kihabu Island terrain, I feel be a mama, if even two people would go in there, and even during the day, even though, as we've learned before, Shadim usually don't attack people by day, and they don't attack if there's two or more, nevertheless, have a Mitsuki, people would get harmed by the Shadim. So he was in that place, and he's one person by himself, and we don't know whether it was by day or by night, but whatever the case, the point is he did put himself in danger. The Ritva points out you have to learn apparently that it was before Hestia. You would have to learn that this was one of those situations where 10 Jews would know if he ended up being mezana with her. Otherwise, maybe technically he wouldn't be obligated to be moser nefesh for this. It's true, of course, that she's a goyish lady, but the iser of that, the iser to marry her is daraisa, but the iser to have relations with her is only derabanan. So the Ritzvah learns that actually it would have to be that it was Befahesia. But you have, there was a good deal of discussion among Rishonim on the question of whether a person is allowed to be Moisa Nefesh in a case where the Torah doesn't require it. So according to those opinions, you don't need to say that it was Befahesia. You could say it was Betzina, and still he's allowed to be Moisa Nefesh. Anyway, so that's so he hid out in that place, and sure enough, a nest happened, and he wasn't harmed. He wasn't harmed by the shaving.
She couldn't find where he went.
She couldn't find where he went, apparently. So either that, or she was afraid to go in. Maybe she's afraid she's going to get harmed by the shaving. So the next day, the Chachamim, who had known what's going on, maybe this is where the Ritzvah is getting that it was Befahesia, because the Chachamim knew that he had hid out over there. Anyway, so they asked him, "Man notrach, who protected you over there? Taka, how were you saved from the shaving?" Now, you know, we had the story of Rav Acha by Yaakov, where he came to town to learn by Abaya, and there was a shul that had mazikim in it, and then Abaya had him stay over there overnight. There nobody, and he bowed seven times, and the seven heads fell off. There nobody asked him who protected you. The difference is, there it was a besmedrish or a shul, whatever, he could be learning Torah all night. Here it's a bathhouse, he can't. So they're asking him what happened.
Word what's the word?
Notrach, the word notar in Aramaic means to guard.
Notar, okay.
Yeah. So man notrach, who protected you? So he answers them, Shnei noise keser shamruni kol alayla. Two soldiers who carry the emperor guarded me all night, meaning malachim, who appeared like Roman soldiers or whatever, and held the shadim at bay. The Marshal actually gives a girsa instead of noise kushoi, which would be like the Meloshin kushim, like people who serve like kushim, like dark skinned people who serve the emperor or whatever. The point is, it was Malachim who appeared. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Anyway, Omrule, so the Chacham said to him, Shemadvar erva bol yodcha v'nitzal tehemenu. Could it be that maybe there was a dvar erva, a matter of arayas, that came into your hand, that you had an opportunity when itzal to hemenu, and you were saved from it, and that's why Hashem made you that nest of sending you malachim to protect you in this place? The Tanena, as in fact we learn, kol abad dvar erva liyodav itzal hemenu oisin loy nest, and Hashem does a nest for such a person who holds himself back from such a thing. So that would explain why those malachim came and saved you. So the point is, in other words, that a case like that. So now he didn't actually do a mitzvah during that time, especially, again, he's in a bathhouse, he can't learn Torah, but he wasn't doing an aveda that he had an opportunity to do. That's what we're saying. For that, he gets a schar. As opposed to if a person is just sitting around and he doesn't do mitzvahs and he doesn't do aveda, so he doesn't get a schar for that.
Because
he has the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but I guess you could say, even let's say he's an Amoretz and he doesn't know how to learn Torah, but still, you know, he could still proactively go and find a mitzvah to do. Okay. So now the Gemara continues with other examples of that, introducing it with a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Giborei choyach oisei dvorei l'shmoya b'kil dvorei." The mighty ones of strength who do Hashem's word and who listen to the sound of His word. So in context, the pasuk is talking about malachim, but here the Gemara is going to explain. Kigoyin Reb Tzadik v'chaveirav. For example, you have the example of Reb Tzadik and other chachamim like him, like Reb Chinen of Apapa that we just said, who saved themselves from doing a dvar aveda. Marsha actually learns that no, this pasuk is actually the continuation of the Braisa. This is not the Gemara introducing a new thing. This is actually a Braisa. This is actually the continuation of the Braisa, saying, in other words, that the tzaddikim, who are like malachim and conquer the Yetzahara and listen to Hashem, therefore they have actual malachim serving them, like Rav Chanina bar Papi, who had those two malachim helping him. Anyway. So what happened with Reb Tzadik? Reb Tzadik tevaiti ahi matrunisa. Reb Tzadik, again, was propositioned by a certain goyisha lady. And again, he couldn't easily get away, so he had to make some kind of excuse. Omaloi tells her, cholash lili boy v'lematzina. My heart is weak. I can't. I don't have the physical koyach for it. Ika midila mechal. Is there anything over here to eat? Omrele ika davar tome. She says, yes, there's a certain thing which happens to be a davar tome. A pig, I guess, or whatever. Omala, so he says to her, my nafkamina, why I have to think to myself, why would it make a difference what kind of food? It must be, this has got a message from Shemayim, to Ovid Ha Ochol Ha. Somebody who does this one kind of Aveda deserves to or is going to end up eating this other kind of thing. In other words, why is it? In other words, he's saying, in effect, he's saying, why is it that my life depends on something which for me as a yid would be also must be, because that's the that's a message. It's a message min hashamayim to tell me not to do this. But still, she still didn't pay attention to that. So
he told this to her.
Okay. Yeah, he told this to her. Right. Pashtus, yeah. Maybe he said it to himself. I don't know. Whatever. Shogras tanura. So she fired up the oven. Kaman chalei, and she was putting the food in it to heat it up for him to eat. Solik v'yosi begave. He jumped in and went into the oven. Marshall points out, by the way, that again, you have to say, we're talking about over here, you can't say that it would be a situation where he could run away, because then he wouldn't be allowed to put himself in danger like that, where he's going to end up being killed. He didn't know if a ness is going to happen to him. So it must be that the situation is, again, that not only she could kill him, but more to the point, also she could do him yisurim. She had the ability to force him to punish him or whatever until he gives in. So therefore, he figured to do this. And in fact, Ben Yehoyada says that's why that was part of what he had in mind when he said, "What is there available to eat?" Figuring she's going to have to heat up the oven, and then he'll have a hot oven available to jump into.
I think it's hard to understand that oven to heat up for a little meat. You don't. It's not so good to jump into.
Yeah, but you have to remember, you're not talking about nowadays where you just turn a dial on an oven. You're talking about you have to build a fire in the oven. So whether you're cooking a small thing or a large thing, you still need a fire.
Obviously, that point for a person to go inside.
Yeah, but that's big enough that person could. Anyway, she says, "What are you doing?" He says to her, anybody who does the one thing that you're propositioning to me to do, Arias, is going to end up falling into the fire of Gehenna. So finally she says, if I had known that it's so bad for you, then I wouldn't have bothered you. Which Ben Yehoyada says she was kind of like gracefully, not really so nice. She was just like kind of gracefully trying to back out of it. She realizes she's not getting anywhere with him. So fine, she makes it sound like, yeah, I'm a nice lady, I'm going to leave you alone. But really, yeah. Okay, anyway. So that's an example of this kind of thing. Here's another example.
You should have told, join in, come.
Yeah, whatever. Rav Kahana have a kamazbin dikuli. Rav Kahana was selling baskets that women use to put their weaving or knitting or whatever tools in there, which means he has to spend a lot of time around women. At the end of the Masechta, actually, we're going to learn that a person in that situation has to be extra careful about dinim of yichud, because after all, he's doing a lot of business with women. That's the point. In other words, he has to be more careful. So therefore, yeah. Anyway, Tavati Ahi Matunisa, a certain Goyish lady that he was offering his baskets to for sale, propositioned him. The Gemara, by the way, elsewhere mentioned, there's a lot of different Rav Kahanas and Shas, but this one, the Pashtus, is the one that the Gemara says on him in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that he was one of the most handsome people who ever lived. It says something like that his beauty was a semblance of Rabbi Bohu's, it was a semblance of Yaakov Avinu's, it was a semblance of Odomershin. So yeah. Anyway. So Amala, so again, he has to use an excuse. Amala ezel ikshit nafshoi. He says, "Let me go beautify myself. Let me go put on nice clothes or whatever." Instead, solik for kanafel meigra la'ara. He went up to the roof and jumped off again because he's not going to have a way of getting away from her otherwise. Also, Eliyahu kavle. Eliyahu anavi came and caught him so he doesn't fall on the ground. And Elio says to him, "Atrachtan Abba Meir Parsa, you should know you made me schlep 400 parsa away. I was 400 parsa away at the time, and I had to fly here in a hurry to go catch you." Which, by the way, a different Mephoshim point out, you know, the Gemara elsewhere says that Elio Anovi can fly across the entire world with four beats of his wings, so 400 parsa is nothing for him. But so they have different explanations, different explanations of why he's mentioning that. Ben Yehoyada says actually he's saying it as a compliment to him that you deserve 400 what's called tofnei almond kisufin, 400 special ruchniistic worlds that are reserved for tzaddikim. Anyway. Omele, so Rav Kahana says, "Me goremly, what's causing me to be in this situation that I had to now jump off the roof? Lav aniyusa, isn't it the fact that I'm poor and therefore I have to be making my living selling baskets to women and therefore I was in this situation in the first place? Yohiva shifa the dinari. So Eliyahu gave him a shifa, which is the name of a type of keli, full of gold coins, and now he has money and now he doesn't have to work at this kind of work in the future."
What happens to his sky from learning?
The sky from his learning—that's something else. But here,
with the golden, golden table.
Yeah, yeah, fine. But that's okay. So apparently over here, the point is that it was more, it's not so much prevent a schar, it's not so much a schar, it's to prevent this kind of thing in the future, see. Okay. Which, by the way, in fact, I think one of the Mephoshim says, in fact, it doesn't mean he actually gave it to him. It means, I think Ben Yehoyada says, it means like he showed him where in the ground he can find a buried treasure. Otherwise, it would be mice and nissim. If he directly like made a nest and all of a sudden gold coins appeared, you're not supposed to have enough and such a thing. But yeah. Okay. Getting back. So that's digressing to point out. So those are all examples where a person didn't do a mitzvah, but he avoided doing an aveda that he could have done, and he gets schar for that. So now getting back to mitzvahs. So now we learned yesterday, we quoted the Mishnah from Peah, Eilu Dvorim Sha'adam Eichel Peah Seyem Ba'ol Mazeh. So let's analyze that a little more. Rami Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. Rava pointed out to Rav Nachman a seeming contradiction. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah in Peah, Eilu Dvorim Sha'adam Eichel Peah Seyem Ba'ol Mazeh. He gets the fruits of them, he gets the dividends of them in this world. Va'akeren Kayemus Le Le'el Mabah, and the full reward is left for him for El Mabah. Elohen Kibud Avraim Gros Chasadim Va'avos Shem Shem Enon Machaberei V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And Talmud Torah is equal to all of them. Now, Rava says, I understand where we get all of those from. The question is, why aren't there other ones? Namely like this. And b'kibud avraim k'siv v'man ya'richun yamecha u'l'man yitav loch. The pasuk says that in order that your days will be long and in order that will be good for you. So therefore, we can understand ya'richun yamecha will be la'olam haba and yitav loch will mean in olam hazeh. So the double expression. Now, we learned yesterday, we had Rabbi Yaakov saying schar mitzvah v'hai amaleka, but we said that Mishnah in Peah doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yaakov. Because he had said there's no schar mitzvah even for things that are mentioned over there, like kibud avraim, and he had the example over there of the boy climbing up the ladder and coming down. Whereas here we're saying that there is schar for it in this world. So fine, we understand why kibud avraim is in that category. The pasuk says one who pursues tzedakah and chesed yimtzachayim tzedakah v'chavod will find life and tzedakah and honor. So therefore, so again, it means he'll find chayim in olam haba and tzedakah v'chavod ba'olam hazeh. Or Marsha says maybe it's the other way around, chayim in olam hazeh and chavod in olam haba. Whatever the point is, the pasuk makes it clear that he has both. Over avos shalom k'siv baka shalom v'radfei. When it comes to making peace between people, the pasuk says, seek peace and pursue it. The Amr Ababo asks you to differ to differ. And Ababohu points out that you have a gzera shava on the word roidif. Ksiv hacha bakasham v'rod fehu, uchtivasim roidif tzedakah v'chesed. So therefore, since we have a pasuk about tzedakah v'chesed, that for that a person earns chayim tzedakah v'chavod, then we understand the same thing is true about bakasham v'rod fehu, when you pursue peace, then you're also zoichel to those brachas of chayim tzedakah and shalom, of chayim tzedakah and kavod. But Talmud Torah k'siv ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. Then by Talmud Torah it says that it's your life and the length of your days. So again, you have a double expression, means one in olam hazeh and one in olam haba. Fine. The problem with that is, Rava asks, b'shiluach kan nami k'siv v'man yitav loch v'harach deyamin. But it says also the double expression. So listen nami ha. So why doesn't it list shluach hakan as one of these mitzvahs that odom oichel peres seim ba'ol mazeh ba'aker and kaimus la'olam haba? And the answer is, you could say ton of a shire. You could say the Tana left out something. You didn't give an exhaustive list, as we often find. Okay, the Rava is going to ask on that, but usually the first thing that you want to ask is my shire to high shire. What else did the Tana leave out that you could say he left out this? You know, he doesn't usually leave out one thing from all this. Fine. The fact is, we have in Gemara Shabbos where it mentions various other things, some of which we mention in morning davening as well, which the Gemara explains. All of them are subcategories of one of these things. We mentioned, for example, Achnosas Kala and Avos Ameis and so forth. All of those are subcategories. So fine. The Gemara is not bothered by my shire to high shire, that there's only the one thing that left out. But the problem is, Rava asks, Toni Tana, Elu Dvorim Va'atam Toni V'Shire. The Tana is saying these things, implying only this is the entire list. And you're telling me that Toni V'Shire, that left out other things. Mainly, you want to say the ones in Gemara Shabbos, which are subcategories of the ones over here. They're subcategories of Milas Chasadim or Havas Shalom. Fine. So the Tana doesn't mention them because they're included in it. But Shiluach HaKan is not included in any of the above. So the answer is Amar Rava, Rav Edi Asbarali. So Rava later on explains that Rav Edi explained it to me. In other words, he asked Rav Nachman. Apparently Rav Nachman didn't know the answer. So now Rav Edi explained it to him. The difference is basically going to be all of the ones that we mention in that Mishnah are all ones that other people have hana from them. So it's not only Tov L'Shamayim, it's also Tov L'Brius. Shaluach HaKan, yes, there is Oichol Perasim, Ba'olam Hazeh, etc. But there is, he has life in this world, but it's not really Paris because there's no Tov L'Brius in it. You're not benefiting other people by accomplishing Shaluach HaKan. So therefore, it's a different category. And he explains on the basis like this. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Imru tzadik ki tov, say about the tzadik that he is good, ki frima alalehem yechelu, because they will eat, they will enjoy the fruit of their actions. In other words, that the tzadik will get peiros ba'olam hazeh and akeren kemos la'olam haba. And the pasuk is saying, Imru tzadik ki tov, say to the tzadik that he is good. What do you need to say that? Yesh tzadik tov, yesh tzadik shein tov. What is there, not good tzadik? What it means is when he's doing good to Hashem and to other people, that's the kind of tzaddik who's called toiv. And that's the one that the pasuk is saying, ki frima aleihem yechelu, that he gets the payrus of his deeds. If he's good to Hashem but bad to other people, I mean bad to other people as in, yeah, it doesn't mean he's actually cheating them or harassing them or whatever, but it means he's not learning with them, he's just sticking to himself like a parush or whatever. So he's a tzaddik who can't be called toiv. So therefore you can't say that on him ki free malalehem yechevu. So therefore Shiloh HaKan is in that category. There's no toiv labrius in it. Therefore, yes, he has lamani tavlach ba'arach the yamim, but it's not the kind of thing that he's getting payrus from the mitzvah.
That's why it's not brought down.
That's why it's not brought down in that mission. Kayotze b'dover ata omer. Then you have a similar thing as far as the next pasuk. The next pasuk in Yeshaya continues, oy la rosh ha-ra. Woe to the evil Rasha, because what he does with his hands, the work of his hands, what he, the Averis that he does, will be done back to him. So again, you have to ask, why the duplication, Rasha Ra, what are the kind of Rasha is there? And again, the same thing, when he's bad to Hashem and bad to people, Rashi says, a gazlan or a ganav. So then, who Rosh Ra? Then he can be described as an evil Rosh. Ra la Shemaim ve'ena Ra la Brias. But if he's not bad to people, so for example, Rashi says he does averus that don't affect other people. He does gili arayas mevazes hamoides. He eats chaylev. So he's a Rosh. But nevertheless, zo Rosh she'ena Ra. You can't call him for that an evil Rosh because at least he's not also harming other people as well. Okay. So therefore, you have again the difference, in other words, whether he's going to get the payrus of his punishment in Olam Hazeh as well as in Olam Haba is going to depend on whether he's a Rosh Ra or whether he's a Rosh Hashanah Ra. Next, let's talk more about this matter of mitzvah, of payrus of mitzvahs. We're going to say that averus don't have payrus with certain exceptions. Haschus yeshla keren yeshla payrus. When a person does something good, it has keren and it has payrus. So we're saying usually the payrus are also reserved for olam haba. Sometimes certain categories of mitzvahs, like we say in that Mishnah, or you get the payrus in this world as well. But there is always payrus. Because the pasuk we just quoted says that they enjoy the payrus of their deeds. So they may get the payrus in olam hazeh, they may get an olam haba, depending, but they're always going to get it. On the other hand, avera yesh la keren ve'en la payrus. On the other hand, avera only has a keren, there's no payrus. Hashem doesn't punish the person for more than what he did. The pasuk says about the Rosha, meaning only what he did with his hands is going to be paid for him, implying, but no more than that. Now, what about though? You have a different pasuk that describes Rishoyim, a pasuk in Mishlei, they will eat from the, this is talking about Rishoyim before it's talking about Rishoyim, Ganovim, Gazlonim. They will eat from the fruit of their ways, and from their plans, they will be filled up. In other words, that the pasuk is saying that because of the Averis that they did, they're going to be punished not only for the Avera itself, but even the pre-Dakum, for the fruit of it. In other words, there's going to be dividends for the bad from that, and they're going to be punished not only for the original Avera, but also more than that. So how do you, we just said that Avera does not pay us. The difference is Avera, Sha'isa Peiris, Yeshla Peiris. The difference is when the Avera itself has Peiris, for example, Rashi says Chilul Hashem, an important person does something wrong and other people learn from him to do that. That's called an Avera that has Peiris. So then in that case, Yeshla Peiris. Then in that case, Hashem punishes him for the Peiris as well. V'she'en Oisa Peiris, ein la Peiris. But if there's no Peiris involved, then Hashem doesn't do Peiris to him. Then Hashem doesn't give him any more punishment than for the actual action itself deserves. Here's another difference between mitzvahs and averus. Machshava toiva mitzayu for the maaseh. A good thought that a person thinks to do a mitzvah, Hashem counts it towards the maaseh. Hashem, in other words, rewards him for the thought and also for the mitzvah. We mentioned that concept briefly yesterday. We mentioned, Tosfos had mentioned that when it comes to a yid, based on a Yerushalmi, actually, yeah, we said machshava tova akash bochum itzav for the maaseh, machshava ra na, and Tosfos had said by goyim it's the other way around. Yeah. So machshava tova mitzav for the maaseh shenema, as the pasuk says, oz nidbu regire Hashem isha re'ehu, then those who feared Hashem spoke one to another. Vayakshav Hashem vayishma, Hashem paid attention and he listened. Vayikosav sefer zikaron lefanav, and he wrote down in a book of remembrance before him. Le'yire Hashem, l'choshvei shmoi, for those who fear Hashem and for those who think about his name. The context of the pasuk is that people are saying there doesn't seem to be any skyr va'onish for mitzvahs or averus. Why are we bothering to do mitzvahs? People are saying at that time, in Malachi's time, when it doesn't seem that Hashem rewards the Rishoyim and that Hashem rewards the Tzaddikim and punishes the Rishoyim, sometimes, in fact, it seems the other way around. So Malachi is telling them, absolutely, that's not the case. Hashem does pay attention, and he writes it down and gives the skyr. So what's this? So Amar Rav Asi, afilu choshev adam lasas mitzvah. It means that even if a person only thought to do a mitzvah, the nenes v'loy asah, but then there was an onus and he couldn't do it, malo v'kosev kila asah, then Hashem counts it as though he actually did it. So you have two different things, in other words. You have machshav atoivah akarash bochum mitzayu for the ma'isa, means that Hashem rewards the person when he actually does the mitzvah. Hashem rewards him for the machshava as well as for the mitzvah. And then you have, if he did the machshava and there was an onus and he was unable to do the mitzvah, then also he gets a schayv for the machshava. Obviously, obviously it means only if it was an onus. If, for example, he didn't do it because of an onus, then he's over on a mitzvah seser, then you can't count that. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya and a couple of places in Perek Tes Zayin and Perek Mem Dalad. What is this expression, mitzayu for the ma'isa? Why not use the same expression, ma'alal v'kosov kilo asah, or something to that effect? And he explains, the vort is, a person might be doing a mitzvah because of the ava mesuteris that he has. Not always does a person have an open, revealed love of Hashem. Sometimes there's just the natural, sometimes there's just the hidden ava to Hashem that he has, whether it's the natural one that he was born with as a yid, whether it's one that he has, but for whatever reason he's not able to express, and he's doing the mitzvah because of that. So Hashem realizes that the mitzvah is motivated by that ava, even though it's not open, and therefore mitzayufa, Hashem combines that unexpressed ava with the mitzvah and makes one complete mitzvah out of it. Therefore, the expression mitzayufa. There's another vort that somebody says, I don't remember who, that says that maybe the vort is also, you might have one person thinks to do the mitzvah and then is unable to accomplish it, and the other one does the mitzvah without thinking about it. So Hashem kind of combines them together from the two different people to make one complete mitzvah and to make one good malach out of it. Now, continues the b'raisa, machshava ra, eina kodesh baruch hu mitzayu for the ma'isa. When it comes to a thought, for a bad thought, Hashem does not count it as together with the ma'isa. Shenema, and we learned before that's far as yidden. Shenema, as the pasuk says, oven imra'isi b'libi lo yishma Hashem. If I've thought evil if I've seen evil in my heart, Hashem will not hear it. So in other words, in Poshet Pshat, you would say, lo yishma Hashem, we're asking, may Hashem not hear it. Hashem, please don't hear it. But now we're understanding that it's a statement. Hashem will not hear it. Hashem, so to speak, ignores it. The Ella Mani Makayim Hinini maybe Ella Omazer Ra Pri Machshavos. And what about though? You have a pasuk in Yumia where Hashem says, "I will bring evil on this people, the fruit of their thoughts. So we see Hashem punishes for their thoughts as well. So similar to what we said before, when that thought produces peiros, the person thinks to do the avera, and eventually actually does it, then Hashem combines the thought with it as well and punishes him for that as well, because after all, it means that he planned to do it. But if it doesn't produce peiros, he doesn't actually do it. For whatever reason, ain't a kodesh brochum with sour for the maisa, and Hashem doesn't count it towards the maisa. You have a story involving where a chassid comes from to the Blev Yitzchak Baditchever, and he asks for a tikkun shuva, where something along the lines of he wanted to be mezana with a certain lady, but he didn't want to be also over pnuya, he didn't want to be over on an isu kodesh, so he makes sure that she's tohar and goes to the mikvah first. So the Blev tells him that means, you know, think of what that means. It means that you plan that avera out for at least a week. There's nothing I can do for you. And he sends him off to the Alt. Or maybe it's the other way around. I don't remember. He goes first to there's Rablev Yitzchak and there's the Alt Rebbe. I don't remember which is which. I think first he goes to Rablev Yitzchak, then he goes to the Alt Rebbe, and the Alt Rebbe arranges him to Kuntshuva. But it might be the other way around. And one of them comments that the other one, as much as he defends the Jewish people, there's a limit to the yeah. Anyway, but that would be an example of machshava that produces pavis. So he plans to do the Aveda and then he ends up actually doing it. Okay. So what about the Ela Hodichtiv Laman Tfois as Beis Yisrael B'Libam? What about, we learned yesterday, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel where Hashem speaks of that I'm going to grab and punish the Jewish people for their hearts. So we see that what a person thinks in his heart can be punishable by Hashem. The answer is Amar Abach Bayakav Ahu Ba'avodis Kechav B'Libam. That's talking about when a person has a thought of Avodah Zarah. So then, the Omer Ma'ar, we learn in a Braisa, Moide Chamura Avodis Kechavim. Avodis Kechavim is a serious thing. Shekola Koyfa Bok, Moide B'chola Torah Kula. If he denies Avodah Zarah, it's considered like he acknowledges the truth of the whole Torah, and vice versa. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah, then Hashem does count it. There's, in fact, an explanation. Why should that be so? Because if he has a thought of Avodah Zarah, means he's putting himself on the level of a goy. Well, we learned yesterday that goy, Hashem counts the machshava ra as the equivalent of a maisa, so therefore he gets for that as well. Ula Omar, Ula gives a different answer. It doesn't have to be the Laman Tfoises Beis Yisrael B'Libam does not talk specifically about Avodah Zarah. It could be other Averas as well. Kidur Rav Huna. You can explain that pasuk like similar to what Rav Huna says. Do Amar Rav Huna, we learned this actually earlier in our Masechta. It's brought in a number of places in Shas. Kiven Sha'ova Odom Avera V'Shonaba. When a person does an Avera and repeats it, Hutraloi, it becomes mutter to him. And as in all places, the Gemara asks, what do you mean it becomes mutter to him? Elanasis, like a heter, it becomes to him like heter. He feels that it's mutter. It starts breaking down the barrier, the psychological barrier that he has to not do this. So therefore, in other words, so now, after having done the Aveda once, and now he does it again, now in the future, he thinks to do the Aveda, then Hashem can punish him for the thought as well, because he would have, in fact, carried out the thought unless there was some kind of onus. Obviously, we're not talking about if he does tshuva. That's a whole different thing. But we're talking about if he hasn't. If he hasn't,
I don't think I can show what we're just
doing. Yeah. Right. So yeah. So in other words, so you're not talking about a person who's doing tshuva. You're talking about a person who fully intends to do the avera again and again, and he's already done it twice. But now some onus comes up and prevents him from doing what he planned. So there we're saying, although he's saying that Hashem will punish him for the thought as well, because he certainly, the preposterous, we can assume he would have done it unless there had been that onus. But other than that, so we have a desire and we have that. Okay. Further, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bo Meshum Rab Chanina. On the other hand, it would be better off for a person, if it would be easier for a person, maybe it means easier in Gehenna, whatever, to do an Aveda in secret rather than be Mechal Shem Shemayim in public. If he's going to, at least when he's doing it in secret, then it means that when he does it in secret, it's like he's saying, I'm afraid of people, but I'm not afraid of Hashem. But to make a chilul Hashem, that's pretty bad. But on the other hand, at least he's not making a chilul Hashem. Whereas when he does it in public, he's also making a chilul Hashem, and other people will learn from him. In fact, the Maharal asks, so what about, for example, we find when it comes to Tashlomei Abba V'Chamisha, we find one reason why the Torah is more machmir on why or not tashlama above chamisha? Why is it the Gemara mentions in Baba Kama? Why is it a ganav pays tashlama kefil and a gazlan pays only tashlum pays only the keren, only the actual amount that he stole? And the Gemara explains over there because a ganav doesn't secret, so therefore he's like he's insulting Hashem, like he doesn't care about Hashem, he only cares about what people think, as opposed to a gazlan doesn't have respect for either one. So doesn't that contradict our Gemara over here? The Sma'a Rao gives a couple of explanations. One of them, one very interesting one, he says is there you're talking specifically about Gneva. You know what? Gneva, even Gzela, whatever, even if he does the Gneva in secret, what happens later on? If they find the stolen object by him, then you have the worst of both. He did Baseser, showing that he doesn't care for Hashem looking at him, and the Zechil Hashem because they find it by him. So therefore, that would be a reason to be more machna on him. But by other Averas, not necessarily. And he gives another answer as well, that again, there's a difference whether, as the Gemara is going to say on over here, whether he's able to control himself to not do the Aveira or not. Anyway, so Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yechezkel says to the Jewish people, V'atem beis Yisrael koyam Hashem, you Jewish people, this is what Hashem says, Ish gilul of lechu avoidu, each of you go worship your idols, v'achar, and afterwards, in einchem shemim elai, if you're not going to listen to me, v'es shem kodshi lo isachalu, and you should not make a chil Hashem. In context, what the Pasuk is saying is the Navi is telling them, look, if you go ahead and worship your Avodah Zarah, but you're going to see that there's going to be consequences eventually. You don't think you're going to get away with it. But here the Gemara is explaining that what the Pasuk is saying is if you're anyway going to worship idols, at least do it in a way that you're not making a Chil Hashem. So Amar Abba Lo Yazakin, Im Roya Adam Sheyitzrim is Gaber Olav, if a person sees that his Yetzahara is overpowering him, Yelech L'mokam Shein Makirin Oisai, he should go to a place where nobody recognizes him. The Yubashur, and you have to realize that back then, to be in a place where nobody knows you was a lot harder than it is nowadays. You know, you didn't have electronics, you didn't have a cell phone to keep in touch with people in your old place. You didn't have any, you know, you have to deal with people on a face-to-face level. Yeah. Anyway, so the Yubashurim, the Iskasa Shurim, he should wear black clothing and cover himself with black wraps, and that tends to make a person more humble. In those times, people usually wore white or colorful clothing. To wear black clothing as a sign of mourning, so therefore that itself makes him feel bad. The Yasik commercial libi chafetz, and then let him do what his heart desires, vayichal Hashem Shemayim Mufahesia, rather than making a chil Hashem. Now there's two ways of explaining that. One way is that, okay, he may end up still doing the Aveira, but at least he's not making a Chil Hashem. So it goes with what we said before. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, what do you mean? You're saying he's allowed to do the Aveira? Chas v'shalom. No, what it means is by doing these things, he's going to have to travel to this place and nobody knows him. And he's going to have to stay in temporary places and wear black clothing. That itself will break his Yetzirah and prevent him from doing the Aveira in the first place. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? So you're telling me that doing an Aveira in secret is better, or at least is not as bad as doing it in public? V'hatanya, we learn in a Mishnah in Chagiga, kol shalei chosav kvod koinoi, anyone who doesn't have respect for the honor of Hashem, roi lo shalei bala olam, he would be better off if he hadn't come into the world. And mahi, what do we mean by that? What's an example of not having respect for Hashem? Rabba Amazam is stackle bakeshis. Rabba says it means somebody who stares at the rainbow because the Shekhinah appears in the rainbow. We find in Yechezkel that he compares the glory of the Shekhinah that he sees by the Maaseh Merkava. He compares it to the rainbow, and from that we learn the Shekhinah appears in the rainbow. So you can look at it briefly in order to say the bracha, but you shouldn't stare at it. So if he stares at it, it shows he doesn't have respect for Hashem. That was Rabba. Rabbi Yosef Amazel over Aveira Baseser. And Rabbi Yosef says it means somebody who does an Aveira in secret. So you see that doing an Aveira in secret is pretty bad. And he would be better off not coming into the world. And the answer is like Kasha, Hodamotzi Kayefli Yitzre, Vahodalai Motzi Kayefli Yitzre. It depends whether he's able to control his Yetzirah or not. If he's able to control his Yetzirah and he says, you know what, I'm in secret, I'll do it anyway, and nobody sees me, that's not having respect for the covenant of Hashem. Then he would have been better off not being born. As opposed to if he really is his Yetzirah, if he finds his Yetzirah to be uncontrollable, almost uncontrollable, I guess, whatever. I mean, after all, but if he feels his Yetzirah is tremendously powerful and he doesn't feel that he has the koyach to overcome it, then at least he's better off doing the Aveira Baseser rather than doing it Barabim and creating a Chil Hashem. Okay. Another point about Chil Hashem. The Gemara says, Tnan Hosam, we learn in a Mishnah elsewhere, Ein makifin b'chil Hashem. Hashem is not makifim, and we're going to explain now what makifin means in a second when it comes to chil Hashem. Echad shogig ve'echad mezid. whether it's b'shogeg or whether it's b'mezid, he gets punished. He gets punished. Now, where is this Mishnah? Tosfos says maybe it refers to the Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel. Maybe it refers to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says something somewhat similar. It says Kol Machal Shem Shemayim Baseisin Ifraim Menem Begoli Echad Shogeg VeEchad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem. So maybe the Gemara here was referring to that Mishnah, but there's no Makifin in that Mishnah. So Tosfos says, okay, even though it says Tanan, maybe it's actually a Braisa. Anyway, so my Ein Makifin. What does that expression Ein Makifin mean? Means Hashem doesn't act towards a person who did a chil, who created a chil Hashem like the way a storekeeper does. Meaning, Rashi explains, what does a storekeeper do? He gives you credit. You buy from him. He puts it on your bill, and eventually he bills you and you pay him. But here with chil Hashem, it's not like that. A person creates a chil Hashem, then Hashem brings him the punishment as soon as possible after that. So we're not talking about people whose whole life is one big chil Hashem. The fact is, we do see that there are people whose whole life is like that, and they don't get punished right away. We're talking about a person who's basically a tzaddik, but he creates a chil Hashem one time, then Hashem makes sure the punishment should be as soon as possible afterwards, so that people will realize that there was a chil Hashem and then realize not to learn from it. Mausha brings from the Oruch a different explanation of Ein Oisin Kechenvini, meaning a storekeeper will have, for example, so you bought something from him that cost X amount of money, but on the other hand, later on, you might sell him something which is an equivalent amount of money, so he's not going to collect from you right away. He's going to wait until there's something to balance it out, something that you're going to return to him or something that you're going to sell him or whatever. With Chil Hashem, it's not like that. So with other Averas, in other words, the point is, a person might do an Avera, so Hashem doesn't punish him right away. Hashem waits and sees, well, is he going to do a mitzvah that kind of cancels out that Avera? But with Chil Hashem, it's not like that. Ma Breda Rabbana understands the word makifin in a different sense. The word makifin can also mean to look carefully into something. Rashi brings from a couple of Gemaras, for example, where the word makif means to put two things together and compare them very closely. But here, it's not like that. Even if the person was exactly balanced as far as mitzvahs and averas, this one thing of chil Hashem will cause the scale to tip towards the side of the averas because there was chil Hashem on that side of the scale. So in other words, Hashem is, so to speak, not going to look at the scale and see, well, is it evenly balanced? It's just going to be on the side of bad, and that's that. So now let's talk about that matter of the scale of mitzvahs and averas. Very much Asman Grama this time of year. A person should always consider himself as though he's half guilty and half worthy. This is the famous Rambam. The Rambam brings this, and the Rebbe used to quote this all the time. Awesome mitzvah achas. So he does one single mitzvah. Ashrav, how fortunate is he? Shechriya atma lekaf schus, that he inclined himself to the side of good. Over avera achas, and then if he does one single avera, oylo shechriya asatma lekaf choiva. Woe to him that now he inclined himself to the side of detriment of avera. Shenema, as the pasuk says, b'chote echad ya'abed toiva harbe. The pasuk says one chote, one sinner can destroy a lot of good. Meaning, b'shvil chet yichidi shechata, you can have one single avera that a person did. Oved mimenu tovas harbe, he loses because of that a tremendous amount of good that he would have otherwise got. And the point is that should motivate him to do tshuva, so he gets that good back. Similarly. It's not just the person individually. Lafisha oilam nidun achar ruboy. Yeah, the whole world is judged by its majority. Va'yochen nidun achar ruboy, and the individual is also judged according to his majority of mitzvahs or averus. So therefore, so it's not just enough to think that you yourself are evenly balanced and make sure to do the one mitzvah to get yourself to the side of good. You have to consider also mitzvah and avera can affect the entire world. Awesome mitzvah achas. So if he does one single mitzvah, ashrav, how fortunate is he? Shechriya es atzmai ves kol olam l'kaf schus. He inclined not only himself but the entire world to the side of schus. over avera achas, and if he does one single avera, oiloi shichrias atmeves kolo olam makaf choiva. He inclined himself and the whole world to the side of detriment. Now Rashi understands that we're talking about over here the number of people. Hashem will judge the world by the number of tzaddikim versus the number of rishoyim. Where tzaddikim and doesn't mean, of course, in the sense of Tanya, tzaddikim, but in the sense of people who have more mitzvahs than aveiros. Hashem will judge it on that basis whether there's more tzaddikim or more rishoyim. On the other hand, the Rambam learns we're talking about the total number of mitzvahs. Hashem will judge, does the whole world in aggregate have more mitzvahs or the opposite? So the point is, one mitzvah, one aveda, can tip him over from being a tzaddik to a rasha or a rasha to a tzaddik. And therefore, according to Rashi, so now you could have, let's say, up until now you had a million tzaddikim and a million rishoyim, and now you have a million and one tzaddikim or a million and one rishoyim. And according to the Rambam, the vote is the number of mitzvahs and avedas. So again, Shenema v'choyte echad. Again, the same v'choyte echad chula. The same pasuk. The one choyte destroys a lot of good. Meaning, again, the same idea. Mishvil chet yichidi sha'asa zeh. One single avera that a person does, ibid mimenu makala olam toy v'harbe. He causes himself and the entire world to lose a lot of good that they would have had otherwise. So basically, the Tanakhama is understanding choyte echad to refer to one single chet. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is learning that it means one choite, one baal averus, one rosha. So the Tanakhama is saying one single avera, and therefore the one single avera would refer to him himself. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon understands that it means one single choite, one single sinner, one single rosha who harms things for the entire world, and vice versa. Because midah tova meruba, it's always Hashem's midah of goodness is always stronger than the midah of punishment. So therefore by the same token, all the more so, one mitzvah can incline himself and the whole world to the side of source. And the Gemara finishes off. Rav Shimon Yochayomer. Afilu tzaddik gomer kol yomav. Even if you have a person who was a tzaddik gomer his entire life, umorad ba'achroinim, but then at the end of his life he rebels against Hashem, ibid esarishonis, he loses the reward for his mitzvahs. Shenema, and we'll talk about in a second what the scenario is. Shenema, as the pasuk says, tzidkas tzaddik loy satzivenu b'yoyim pisho. The pasuk says that tzidkus of the tzaddik will not save him on the day that he sins. Now, simple meaning means, in other words, that even a tzaddik sometimes has averus, and it means that you shouldn't think he's going to get away with his averus. Hashem will punish him for them, but he'll still get a schar for the mitzvahs. But here we're talking about, in other words, that there can be a case where he actually loses the schar for the mitzvahs altogether. V'afilu rosha gomu kol yomav, and vice versa, you have a person who was a complete rosha his entire life. But also tshuva ba'achroina, and then at the end he did tshuva. Ein maskirim lo shuv rishoy. Hashem never again mentions to him his rishus. Shenema, that same pasuk continues. V'rishas harosha lo yikosho bo v'yom shuva me rishoy. The wickedness of the rosha, he won't stumble on it on the day when he does tshuva from his rishus. So his averus are wiped away. The point is, in other words, even rishoy, the word rishoy, v'yom pishoy, the word pesha, I mean deliberately rebelling against Hashem. But because that's why it uses the expression "sidus katzadikloy etzlanu b'yom pishoy." But now we're saying "v'rishas harosha," then it won't be mentioned to him at all because he did sugar. So the Gemara asks, why in the case of a tzaddik, why should he lose his reward for all his mitzvahs? The nev kimechtza avonis amechtes choyes. At least he should be no worse off than somebody who has half mitzvahs and half averus. So why does he lose all of his mitzvahs? The answer is Amar Shlokish Betoya Al Rishonis. It means where he's wondering about why did I ever bother to do those mitzvahs in the first place. So therefore, now he loses the schar for those mitzvahs. Now we said before, Machshava Ra, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah for the Maisa. So Hamakna adds that it would have to be that now he actually starts doing averus. So he has the worst of both. In other words, he's thinking to himself, why did I ever bother doing those mitzvahs? What did I get out of them? Nothing. So I shouldn't have bothered doing them. And now he goes and does averus. So therefore, now he loses the schar for all those mitzvahs that he did until now. We talked yesterday about Acher. There's an example of that in the Gemara in Chagiga over there in the whole sugya about Acher, where it mentions that after he went off the derech, And then Hashem, so to speak, erased all his mitzvahs from the book, because then you have exactly what we're saying over here, Torah al Rishonis. And still, as we learned yesterday, still Rav Meir didn't give up on him. Okay, Mishnah continues. Now that we talked about, so now we talked about the schar for mitzvahs, so now we're going to talk about more about how a person can achieve that schar, and how a person can achieve that schar. Well, not so much the schar, but how the person can make himself into an odem hasholem, into a complete person. So the Mishnah says, "Kol sheyeshne b'mikro over Mishnah over derech eretz." When a person has mikro, he learns Tanakh over Mishnah, he learns Mishnayos over derech eretz, and he acts in a derech eretzic way with other people. That's one way of explaining it. Another way would be explaining that derech eretz in Gemara terminology sometimes means having a job. So it means that he also has a job and he earns his money honestly. So then loy b'mehero hu choyte, he won't be that fast to do averus. Shenem v'achot hamashulosh loy b'mehero yinosik. The pasuk says the triple thread, a three ply thread, won't be broken so quickly. So when a person has all these three milas, he's not going to be so quick to do averus. Befrat, if we understand that derech eretz means doing work, then you have the expression in Pirkei Avos, shigias shneim mashkachas oven. When a person is busy with Torah and with earning a living, then he doesn't really have much time for averus. But if we say that derech eretz means over here poshut acting in a menschlich way to other people, then it's also a third mila to go together with his mikra and mishnah, which now makes it that he's less susceptible to averus. On the other hand, v'chol she'ena loy b'mikra v'loy b'mishnah v'loy b'derech eretz, a person who doesn't have any of these three things, he's not part of settled society. He's not accomplishing anything for civilization. And in fact, the Gemara is going to say further down, he's posel edus. So a person has to at least be doing one of these things in order to be accomplishing something useful for society. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, l'mat tzaddikim nimshalim ba'olam hazeh." What can you compare tzaddikim to in this world, where we find many times that, as we learned in the previous Gemara, that many times Hashem punishes tzaddikim and they have a hard time of it in this world, and then they have their place in olam haba, and Rishoyim are the other way around. Marsha, by the way, points out this whole piece of Gemara seems to belong in the previous part, in the connection of the previous Mishnah. Why are we bringing it in over here? So the next explanation, I think, from Amakna, that says it does sort of have to do with our Mishnah as well, because we're saying that a person has this three ply thing that helps him from doing averus, and therefore we can compare him also in another sense. We can compare like a three ply thread that doesn't rip that easily, in the same way you can compare him to a tzaddik with a strong trunk of a tree. Anyway, Nick, to consider what happens, Shekula Omid B'Mokim Tara, mostly the tree is standing in a place of Tara, but Nofer, Nota L'Mokim Tumah. Now, the branches of it overhang a place of Tumah, a base of Kvaris, for example. So what do? Niktzatz Nofer, you cut off those branches, and Kula Omid B'Mokim Tara. Now the entire tree is in a place of Tara. In other words, the point is, up until now, for example, if you stood anywhere under the tree, you'd have a problem. You'd become tumah because the tumah from the branches, from the branches on one side, would extend to the branches on the other side, and anybody standing under it becomes tumah. Now you cut off those branches, and now the whole tree is tahor, and people can stand under it. Therefore, the same way Hashem brings Yisurim al Tzadikim in this world to clean up their averus, so that they can inherit the complete olam haba and not have any problem. As the pasuk is, "V'hoya reshischa mitzar," your beginning will be small, "V'achrischa yisge ma'od," but your end will be very, very great. So therefore, so in the same way, in other words, a person starts out in this life, he has a hard time of it, but that's in order that he should have a great reward, la'asid la'vay. And ulama reshoyim doimin ba'olam hazeh. What about the reshoyim in this world? What can we compare them to? La'ilan shakula emin makam tuma. The other way around, you have a tree that's standing completely in makam tuma, in a cemetery, for example, but no for no to the Makam Tara, and then you have a little branches of it overhang a place of Tara. So again, Niktzat Noifoi, if you cut off those branches that lean over there, Kula Imid Makam Tuma, then the whole tree is standing in a place of Tuma, which among other things means, again, it means that therefore people who are walking on the road over there that are not under where the branches used to be are not going to have a problem anymore. At least the tree itself, everything under the tree is going to be tame, but at least it's not affecting them. So kacha kodesh bochum mashpil and toiv l'roshoyim ba'olam hazeh. The same way Hashem gives good to the roshoyim in this world, kedel todan, in order to drive them out of olam haba olahu rishon l'madrega tachtona, and to make them inherit the lowest level of Gehenna. Shenema, as the pasuk says, yesh derech yosher lifnei ish. There is a straight way in front of a person. Hashem gives a person the straight way of Torah and mitzvahs. V'acharisa davchei mavet. But it also means that Hashem gives a person a straight way, and Hashem makes his way very straight and smooth. V'acharisa davchei mavet. But the end of it is ways of death, meaning if a person doesn't realize that I'm successful, he doesn't think to himself, well, that might be because Hashem is rewarding me for my mitzvahs, but Hashem plans to punish me for my averus, so I better clean myself up. If instead he thinks, oh good, I'm having a good time of it, so then I'll just continue acting the way he is, then he ends up in Darchei Mavis. Okay, so the Gemara continues now. So we're saying about in the Mishnah that you need Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz. So now, so you have, so that means, in other words, a person needs to have Torah and mitzvahs. So now the Gemara is going to discuss which one is more important. Which one between Derech Eretz itself is not directly a mitzvah. I mean, if we explain that it means that he's acting in a Derech Eretzic way to other people, then that can be considered, a mitzvah. If you say that it means, so it includes other midas, toivas, and whatever. So now the question is, what is more important, Torah or mitzvahs? Ukvar hoya, Reb Tarfon was kenim mesuvin ba'aliyas based nitzah b'lud. It already happened that Reb Tarfon and the other Zkenim were reclining and eating a meal in the second floor of the house of Nitzeh in Lud. So this Nitzeh was a person who made his house available for the Chachamim to gather over there. So one time they're sitting over there at a Suda, and they're reclining, and during the Suda they're discussing Divrei Torah. The Gemara mentions in a few other places things that they discussed in the same second floor of Beis Nitzeh. In those times, by the way, it was a very common thing that you would have, like the bedrooms and other work rooms or whatever would be on the first floor, and the second floor would be where you'd have the big dining room and living room and everything, and the big gathering area. So we find in other places in the Gemara also that this Aliyas Beis Nitzeh Balud was a place where they decided on very important topics in Yiddishkeit. Anyway, v'nishal o'sheva zubefneim. This question was brought up. Talmud gadol or ma'ase gadol? What is greater, learning Torah or doing mitzvahs? Nana Reb Tarfon v'omar. So Reb Tarfon spoke up and said, ma'ase gadol, doing mitzvahs is greater, because after all, lo yamedrash ikar el ha'ma'ase. Nana Reb Akiva v'omar Talmud gadol. Reb Akiva spoke up and said, Talmud is greater, learning Torah is greater. Nimnu kolam v'omru, they all voted and they said, Talmud gadol, shat Talmud maybe the day ma'isa. Learning is greater because learning brings a person to ma'isa, so that way he has the best of both. He has Talmud and he has ma'isa. So in a way, both of them are right. Tosfos discusses it over here that actually there is, in a certain sense, we can say Maisa is greater in the sense of, is the person just learning Torah for himself, or is he teaching other people? When he's teaching other people, then Talmud is definitely Gadol mi Maisa. But if he's learning only for himself, then maybe not necessarily then Maisa is greater, but in order for Maisa, you do need to have that Torah first. So in fact, Tosfos says, that's the point. In other words, if you have a person who never learned yet, so he's coming to ask advice, what to do, so we tell him first learn, because ain't aloyama or it's chosid. But if you already learned, then it's better that you should be doing maisim. And there's many places in Chassidus, of course, in Tanya, and in lots of other places, it talks about the idea that Talmud Gadol is also on a deeper level, because Talmud is you're connecting your mind with Hashem's mind, and Torah is mazen and lavush for the nefesh elikis, whereas mitzvahs are only lavushim. So there's a lot of different points about this Talmud and Maisa Gadol respect. So in fact, the Gemara says, here is an example to illustrate how important Talmud is over Maisa. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Yomar, Gadol Talmud, we see how great Talmud is compared to Maisa, Shekodem L'chala Arboim Shana. We see the Jewish people were learning about the mitzvah of challah for 40 years before they actually started doing it. They got the mitzvah of challah at Matan Torah, or it's first recorded in the Torah after the story of the Meraglim. And when did they start doing challah? Like we learned the other day, only when they first come into Eretz Yisrael, which is 40 years later. When it comes to Trumas and Maisris, they were learning about the dinim of them 54 years before they did them, because Truma and Maisris, we learned the other day, are mitzvahs that apply only after Kibush V'chiluk, and it took them 14 years to conquer and divide Eretz Yisrael. From when they first learned about Shemitah until they observed the first Shemitah is 61 years, because another 7 years until Shemitah. From when they started learning about Yovel until they actually observed the first Yovel was 103 years, because you have to add together 40 years in the Midbar, 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk, and then you have a 50-year cycle before you have 49 years, and then you have Yovel, so that gives you 103. So the Gemara says, may have a Shalosh, may have a Arba Havyan. Isn't it 104, because Yovel is the 50th year? And the Gemara says, no, Kasavar, Yovel Mitchilasu Humashamet, because Rabbi Yossi holds, and this is in fact how it is, that Yovel is Meshamet at the beginning. Unlike with Shemitah's Ksafim, which really takes effect only at the end of Shemitah, Yovel, the fact that Avodim Ivrim go free and fields return to their owners and so forth, takes effect at the beginning of the year. So therefore you're only 103 years. And actually the Rashash points out over here, I mean, everybody would know that. It says clearly in the Pasuk that it takes place on Yom Kippur. So he explains that what it means is, in other words, Rabbi Yossi holds that it actually starts taking effect Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and this is the halacha, that the Avodim are actually free from working from Rosh Hashanah, but they don't actually go home until Yom Kippur. So therefore, in a certain sense, Yovel begins right at the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah rather than waiting another 10 days for Yom Kippur. Anyway, the point is, so we see that they were learning about many of these mitzvahs for many, many years before there was even any possibility of keeping them. And the Gemara finishes off, Shem Shal Limud Kodim L'Maisa, Kach Dina Kodim L'Maisa. The same way as we're saying in the end that Talmud comes before Maisa, that to learn Torah comes before mitzvahs, the same way when a person is judged in the Beis in Shomayla is also judged first for his Torah and then for his mitzvahs. Kidder Rav Hamnuna, like Rav Hamnuna says, the Amar Rav Hamnuna ain't chilas dina shel adam el al divrei Torah. A person is first judged in Shemayim only for divrei Torah. Why wasn't he oisek v'Torah? So Shenema, as the pasuk says, poter mayim reishis modern. When a person patters himself from water and Torah is compared to water, reishis modern. That is the beginning of the argument and the debate with him. Osid lavoi that he's going to be judged for that first. So now Tosfos says, to be exact, the Gemara in Shabbos tells him the first thing they ask him is nasata nasasev nasata be'emuna. Did you do business honestly? So that's as far as they ask him that first. But when it comes to the punishment, Tosfos says there the first thing is they ask him afterwards, kavaita itim latorah. Did you set aside times to learn Torah? And that will be when we say over here that the din comes first. We mean as far as the punishment, the Ramona is saying. And he finishes off, just as the punishment for ignoring Divrei Torah comes before the punishment for Maisa, the same way the reward for learning Torah comes ahead of the reward for learning, for doing mitzvahs. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem gave them the lands of the Goyim, and they inherited all the hard work of the nations, Bavur Yishmeru Chukav, in order that they should fulfill his chukim, v'sodoisav yinsodu, and they should observe his Torahs. So Yishmeru Chukav refers to learning Torah. Like you have Imbuchu Koyse Telechu, means, first of all, Rashi says that Tishmeru refers to learning, like we learned a few days ago, Tishmeru and Zum Mishnah. And you have, for example, at the beginning of Parashas Imbuchu Koyse, Imbuchu Koyse Telechu, where Rashi says, Shetiyu Amelim Batorah. So therefore, Yishmeru Chukav, both the word Yishmeru and the word Chukav, refer to learning Torah, and Besodosav Yin Soda refers to observing the mitzvahs that are in the Torah. So therefore, the Schayr for learning Torah comes first. Shukriya, everyone.